to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, June 10th, 2018, by the Reverend Eric Williams.
When I was a little kid, I had a picture of Jesus that I probably got from Sunday school that I look back on as a very naive picture of Jesus. You know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. What is it? Stay with me, a little child, or something like that. What's that? Look upon a little child. Yes. This idea of Jesus who was always nice to everybody. Well, as an adult, I've gone back and reread the Gospels, and that Jesus is a little more complex. Jesus knew all about conflict. Sometimes he even provoked conflict in the leaders of his day. He was unabashedly about the kingdom of God. And those who were in the way of that, the Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes, those who were clinging to their own religious or political power, were in the way, and Jesus had no problem going right into their face and provoking conflict. He also understood the cost of conflict. Of course he did, because he bore the cost of conflict himself in the most dramatic, personal, and devastating ways. Betrayed, arrested, tortured, crucified, all because of his commitment to proclaiming, living, and bringing about the kingdom of God. Well, conflict for Jesus today was really tied into this whole understanding of how people react when things are different than they expected. And for Jesus, and this is true for a lot of us, conflict begins in our families. Jesus is out with the crowd doing what he's doing, healing, teaching, preaching, and there's a lot of pushback. These same Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees are accusing Jesus of being a complete whack job. He's got a demon. He's out of his mind. He is nuts. And this comes back to Jesus' family, and they are very upset. They're upset not because people are accusing Jesus, but because it's making them look bad in the community. Aren't you connected to Jesus? Oh, boy. So they decide they've got to take care of this problem and stop Jesus. That's his family's idea. We're going to go and stop Jesus from proclaiming the kingdom of God. Now, with the benefit of hindsight, we know how ridiculous this is. But I think we can also feel a little bit of their pain. They were really struggling in a small and closely knit community. This had consequences for them, and so they were really engaged. And Jesus kind of disses his family, doesn't he? He's with the crowd, and they're saying, hey, your family's out there. And he's like, you know what? If you're listening to my words, you are my family. Ouch. Conflict is real. Conflict goes back in the Bible right to the very beginning. It would be nice to think that the Bible is only a book that tells us stories about how wonderful people are and how much we get along. But in fact, from the very beginning, the first stories that we have about human beings in the Bible are full of conflict and the ways that we deal with conflict, and not always the healthiest ways. And one of my favorite stories in the Bible is our story from Genesis, where God has given Adam and Eve the Garden of Eden. It's a lot like Rochester. It's just a beautiful place. It's full of all kinds of beautiful trees and plants and abundance, and there's all these great trees. And God says, all of this is yours. You can eat everything in this garden except one tree. There's just one tree. It's just a little tree. It's over on the side. Don't worry about it. Just don't eat the fruit from that tree. Now, you and I know, especially if you've been a parent, that this is a complete setup job, right? If you tell a kid, here's a whole room full of toys, you can play with all of the toys. There's just this one toy over here. Don't play with that toy. Where is that child going to go? 100% of the time, they're going to ignore all the other toys and go for that one. So I think this was a setup, and I think it was a test, and I think it was God checking in with his newly created human beings made in his image, the only part of the creation that's made in the image of God, right? He made all the rest of it, and then he made human beings in his own image, and he's so excited. Let's see how this turned out. Let's just do a little, you know, quality assurance test is what this is for his new creation. And so he says to Adam, who told you you were naked? And did you eat that fruit from the one tree that I said don't eat it? And you know, Adam's got one good response to this, right? All he has to say is, yes, I did. Yes, I ate the fruit. And it would be fine, right? God would be like, yes, it's worked. Everything that I wanted has come true. But Adam, of course, does not do that. What does Adam say? It was the woman. He doesn't even use her name. It's the woman. And then it's not only the woman, but it's the woman you gave me. It's not my fault, it's hers. And really, God, it's your fault because you gave me the woman and she gave me the fruit, and you can't pin this on me. Wow, that's the very first response that Adam has. And so God says, well, let's play this out. Maybe, okay, Adam's kind of a miserable failure, but maybe I did better with Eve. Let's see how Eve does. Eve, did you eat the fruit from the tree that I told you not to eat it? And Eve goes, it was the serpent. The serpent that you made, God. You put that serpent in the garden, and the serpent tempted me, and how was I supposed to resist? You can't pin this on me. Oh, you can imagine the deep sigh that God has as he looks at these wonderful human beings that he's made in his own image, and this is their response. Well, this, I think, should come home a little bit to us, because we are totally familiar with this pattern, aren't we? If we look into our own hearts and minds and experience, we have to admit that it is still, all this time later, very difficult when someone says, did you do the thing that I told you not to do? How often are we able to say, yes, I did, and leave it at that? How often are we able to say yes without the comma, but? Yes, but. I worked for a headmaster when I was a school teacher, and he made a huge deal to the whole school, teachers and students. He said, I never want to hear, comma, but, ever. Just yes or no. In fact, that's in the Bible. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Not, it was the woman whom you gave me. It was the serpent. It was whatever. We still are so conditioned to make excuses. We have a lot of wonderful law enforcement, retired law enforcement people in this congregation, and I was joking with some of them at 8 o'clock, I think Rad will appreciate this, and saying, did you ever make an arrest where the person said, yep, I did it, it was me, I take full responsibility? I mean, how often does that happen? Like, never. Because somehow we are too insecure in ourselves to accept responsibility. And I think this is the root of so much of the conflict in our lives. There will always be conflict, but there can be healthy conflict where people have honest differences and work them out in a spirit of love and charity. It's just so rare when that actually happens. So unusual when that happens. And I think the root cause, we can look right to our scriptures today. The root cause is that we are too insecure in our relationship with God. St. Paul in our epistle talks about we're enduring this momentary affliction so that God can prepare us for the eternal weight of glory. It is faith in God that gives us the ability to speak. Faith in God rooted in our relationship with God. Adam and Eve failed their first test because they had insufficient faith in God. They thought if they said what they had done, that it would be all over. And in fact, God, his promise was that he would never forsake them. He loved Adam and Eve. He loves all of us. God wanted for them a relationship that would be mutual and so forth. But God was not going to abandon them. But because they were afraid of that, they could not claim authority over their own lives. They couldn't take responsibility for their own thoughts and words and actions. And that is the same issue that Jesus' family had. Too afraid of what other people were thinking or saying, instead of trusting in their relationship with Jesus and their relationship with God. I think our call, I know our call as Christians, is to be so rooted in our relationship with God, so absolutely 100% positive of God's love and acceptance of us, that we are set free to take responsibility for our thoughts, words, and actions. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. We're still going to eat the fruit of the tree that we're not supposed to eat. But we can then trust in God's forgiveness and mercy and be able to live as mature members of the body of Christ. So many of our conflicts spin out of control because of our lack of faith and trust in God. How much different would it be if we could enter into those natural differences all assured of how much God loves and accepts us, and taking responsibility for ourselves and allowing others to take responsibility for themselves? I don't have to convince you to think and be exactly like I am for us to be in relationship. You be you, and I'll be me, and we can both be acceptable in the eyes of God. We see today in our world so few examples of this that I think our challenge is to try to be right where we are an example of that. We know what church conflict can be like. We know what family conflict can be like. Let's commit to practicing living in faith and trust in God. Let's practice the best that we are able, allowing others to be fully themselves, taking responsibility for ourselves. Let's try to be an example and a light to the world. Let's try the best we're able to live in that faith that St. Paul talks about, to live in the relationship that God established with us from the beginning of creation, that he sent Jesus to embody in his earthly life and to invite us into through his death and resurrection. We are already forgiven, already set free, already members of God's eternal and glorious kingdom. So let's live like it.